the topic of this day is what I find a very important topic in terms of meditation, in terms of something that I would say Buddhist meditation bring to this wide topic of meditation, of mindfulness. And this is this idea of the feeling thoughts. And so in the ancient language, it's known as Vedana, V-E-D-A-N-A. And what is interesting about this idea, yesterday I was kind of something else with another group, and we're talking actually about the one term in science that you have, which is granularity. Kind of coming down to some kind of fine grain of our experience. And it seems to me that feeling tones, being mindful of the feeling tone, is very connected to that. But it's not, so first I need to explain what are the feeling tones, because some people might not know the term and might wonder, but what is she referring to anyway? So in terms of the mindfulness practice, it's a second foundation of mindfulness. First foundation is a body, second foundation is a feeling tone, third foundation is a mental state, and the fourth include many different things. So here, the feeling tone, we have to make a difference. The way I would kind of differentiate in terms of this granularity is feeling tone is just at the moment of contact through the senses. That through the senses, you see something, you hear something, you smell something, you touch something, you think something. And in that moment of contact, immediately you have a feeling tone. Pleasant, unpleasant, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant that we can call neutral for sure. And so the idea is to become mindful of those. Again, we might talk about this later, not in a self-conscious, analytical way, but more in terms of being mindful of that aspect of our experience. Because what happens is that you have the contact, then you have this tonality of experience, and then very quickly, it can become a feeling sensation that you would feel more in the body, then it can turn more into an emotion, and then it can turn into a disturbing emotion. But we're not talking about these three, feeling, sensation, emotion, disturbing emotion. We're trying to come back to the beginning, that through our experience in daily life, we have these six senses from the Buddhist idea, and all these senses, we have contact. And so the thing with the contact is that it can be intense and very clear. You know, 2 days ago, I woke up, I opened the curtains, and there is this beautiful sunny morning with frost on the ground. And I think, this is nice. So you have the contact with the view, and this gives me a pleasant feeling tone at that moment. If we kind of check them a little bit, I would say maybe, you know, pleasant number 6.5. and then if you wake up, you open the thing and it's pouring down with rain, unless you're really waiting for rain because it was too dry, you might have a different feeling tone. But then that first feeling tone could actually set me for the day. Isn't it a great day? But then if it starts to rain, wait a minute. It was supposed to be sunny. I mean, it's very interesting. So you have the immediate. You have the pleasant feeling tone or the unpleasant or the neutral feeling tone. And that generally, for me, it's very important because it's very influential in the way we behave, in the way we talk. Because one of the things that can happen is that you can have here, something is happening, and suddenly you have an unpleasant feeling tone because of this. And then 1 hour later, you might be seeing yourself talking nastily to somebody who has not done anything. And you wonder, but why am I doing this? And then if you retrace it, you see, oh, it's because of that. And so to me, it's very important. This mindfulness is so important in terms of wisdom, in terms of compassion, in terms of how we relate to ourselves, to others, and to the world, to be more aware of that at the beginning. Because generally, we're aware of our mood more like when it's really intense, and then it's often a little late. One thing we have to see with the feeling tones is that often we have the impression that the tonality is in the thing itself. Let's look at this beautiful daffodil. You come in the room, you have this beautiful bunch of daffodils, the yellow of it, and think, wow! I mean, unless you have something against yellow or against daffodil, which is possible if you have heard too much the poem of that famous English poet, the daffodil. Even the French people know the poem, so it's very well known. But if you have nothing against that, then you see the daffodil, and it's nearly like the pleasantness is in the daffodil itself. So in a way we think, oh, the pleasantness is there, so I must have it. Then it will stay there. When actually the feeling tone is in the contact with it from us. And so what is very useful in a way with the mindfulness of feeling tone is to see that the feeling tone is constructed. And so it's constructed in two different ways. One way is, you could say, historically, culturally, sociologically, physiologically. We have many different conditions which might make us have a good rapport with something and an unpleasant rapport with something else. I mean, I had one thing often that we do is that if we like some food, we think the food is good by itself. And then you come along, somebody, you say, oh, I hate this stuff. And then you think, but how can you not like mango? I mean, mango, it's, you know, goodness is within it, you know, everybody should like it. And recently, I met somebody who really did not like mango. She said, oh, mango. I said, come on, you have not had a good one. So then I gave her a good one, and she said, well, I still don't like it. And to me, this was so interesting as an experience. The assumption we bring when we put the tonality in the object instead of us relating to it. So the way we'll be with music, with painting, with many different things, will be different according to our different conditions. And there is also another type of construction. I would nearly say it's temporal, for me, I could say, is that sometimes I notice that if it's winter, I like certain things. I mean, in winter, a good soup, yes, yes. And in summer, you're really hot. Not so sure I want some soup. So same with ice cream. In winter, not so sure about ice cream. In summer, yeah, yeah. So you have the same thing, but according to the different weather condition, it might give you pleasant feeling tone or unpleasant feeling tone. So this is just to start with. And then this afternoon, we'll talk more and in the talk. So what, in a way, now in terms of the day of meditation together, how can we be mindful of the feeling tone in not making it too complicated? Because what I'm asking you to do is to be aware to the same degree of all the senses at any given moment. So you sit there, sound, sight, smell, touch. I'm not trying to do that. What I think is useful is to have an anchor, like in any kind of meditation, to have an anchor. So you might anchor in the breath, or you might anchor in the listening, or you might anchor in the body. So I think what we'll do is we'll start with the breath. And the thing is that if you anchor in the breath, generally, you will have a more like an experience of neutral feeling to it. And that, in a way, there is a bit of debate about this feeling tone in Buddhist circles, that some people think it exists, some people think it doesn't exist, some people think it's indeterminate, and some people think it's a beginning of equanimity. Personally, I'm very interested in the neutral feeling tone. But it took me a long time to be aware of feeling tone because I would sit in meditation and I was looking for something and I could not find anything until I realized, hey, I am finding the neutral feeling tone. And so personally, I think in terms of the breath, generally you'll have, I mean, of course, some people might be really happy to breathe. So then they could be aware of the breath, be in contact with the breath. And then that might lead to a pleasant feeling tone. Or they just breathing, and because it's a relative neutral object, it could be just neutral. Or, of course, if you are maybe asthmatic, then you might have a different relationship with the breath, and sometimes it could be a little unpleasant. So again, it's for us to see. We're in contact with the air coming in, coming out with the nostril. And then what we're trying to do when we meditate with that mindfulness is not to try to pin it down. Is it pleasant, number 5? Is it unpleasant, minus 5? But just to help us to be more inside the experience. Because often what happens with feeling tones, basically what happens with contact, is we have the contact with something, we have the feeling tone, but as fast as that, we have the commenting on the contact, the commenting on the feeling tone. And that creates its own feeling tone. That's why the Buddha is saying the thought also have a feeling tone. And that's why, you know, you might be sitting here and suddenly you have a memory of holidays and, that was nice. I mean, recently I was guiding a pilgrimage in Sri Lanka. And you would think, you know, it would be fantastic. It was kind of fantastic at times. But unfortunately, we finished with food poisoning. So what is interesting is that whenever I think of Sri Lanka, I have a little unpleasant feeling too. Because that was the last one. That was the last one that happened. And I found that fascinating. And so I tried to, somebody asked me about my trip to Sri Lanka, and I said, And then I tried to go back to a kind of a pleasant memory to try to offset a bit the kind of the unpleasant tone that I'm left with, because the last day was really unpleasant. So in a way, to me, it's just trying to be in the experience itself. So the first sitting meditation, we can try with the breath. So you just do the mindfulness of the breath. Most people are familiar with it. And also if you are comfortable with it. And so you're mindful of the breath. And then as you're mindful of the breath, trying to be mindful of the contact. Just, I feel the air coming in, coming out. What is the feeling tone of that experience? So you don't need to name it. You don't need to say neutral, but just trying to experience it. But when it's neutral, it's like there is nearly nothing. So it's quite subtle. Then the second, during the walking meditation, we'll be able to walk, to work more with visual. I think this is a really interesting one in our daily life because we go about our life and we see colors, we see shape, and all that is generally creating, you know, I come once a year for many years here, and I went to kind of, I had to give my shampoo to somebody, so I had to go and get some more shampoo. And so on the way to the place to get it, I saw, ooh, on the high street, there is a new Japanese place selling Japanese food. Ooh. I have a very pleasant feeling toward with Japanese food. So I was like, ooh. So, you know, and before there was something else, which was just clothes shop. Did not do much for me. So we can see also the people we see, the color they wear. I mean, it's kind of like again and again. And so that's why I think during the walking meditation, you can walk around here or you can walk outside and just be aware of the visual contact. Because to me, this is something which is so fascinating. Why you see red and you have a certain feeling tone, you see green, you have another feeling tone, you see purple. I mean, especially as the color is so constructed in the brain. It's kind of fascinating, this kind of immediately, I like this, I don't like that. And in a way, just to become aware of it, we're not judging it. We're not, this is a thing about the mindfulness of the feeling tone, we're not trying to stop feeling tone. Because feeling tone is just our human ability. Personally, the thing you might notice, and I'll talk more about this this afternoon, is that we have a tendency to react more quickly to unpleasant than to pleasant. So we're more aware of unpleasant than pleasant. It's what's called the kind of a negative bias or negative asymmetric, something. They've done research on it. And that can be also interesting, because if we have a bias to be more aware of unpleasant, then we can go generally a lot of unpleasant commentary. But what if we try to be as aware of pleasant as of unpleasant? What happens in terms of the kind of the basic mood, the basic way we feel? So during the walking meditation, I'll talk more a little bit about it. Just what we see. And then we can play with being aware of the body as we walk, and then opening to what we see. Coming back to the body, and then opening to what we see, and playing with that. And of course, I mean, what can be interesting in terms of the granularity is, if you stay with something, like if I stay, and I keep focusing on the daffodil, does a pleasant feeling tone remain the same? Does it change? Does it come back to the baseline of neutral? Is that the baseline, neutral? I think that's an interesting thing in meditation we can check. And so that's something which is interesting also to look at. If I look at something for 5 seconds, that's something you can do during the walking meditation. I look at something 5 seconds. Then I stay, then I look at something else 5 seconds, something else 5 seconds. If you can find something which is pleasant, neutral, unpleasant, all the better. And then you try again to do it like for 20 seconds each. Does it make a difference? If you go to the bathroom, this is an interesting one. You see the bathroom, you see the toilet. And then you look at yourself in the mirror. If you stay with yourself in the mirror, what's the first reaction? I see myself in the mirror. What's the first contact? If I stay with it, does the feeling tone change? So in a way, it's kind of like, personally, I feel this meditation is a great exploration, great possibility of exploration in many different ways in our life. In terms of neutral, does it exist? Or not, because in a way, there is this, I will finish now with this quote from a nun in ancient time. And she says, as long as a pleasant feeling tone continue, it is pleasant. When it stops, it can become unpleasant. And this is again what can be useful with the mindfulness of the feeling tone. Is when a good feeling tone stops sharply, it sometimes doesn't just revert to neutral. Oof. By kind of comparison, sometimes immediately, because it stopped, it can become unpleasant. This is an interesting thing to look at. Or, she said, if an unpleasant feeling tone continues, it's unpleasant. But when it stops, it can become pleasant. And that's what we can experience when you stop having a headache, a stomachache. I mean, last night I really thought I was getting a really bad cold. I was sniffling, I had kind of pain in the throat and things like that. My back was funny. And then this morning, I feel relatively fine. So I'm aware, I don't have it, or I don't seem to have it now. So, and kind of in a way, I'm feeling, that's nice, not to have a full-blown cold right now. So then you become, when something unpleasant starts, you're so aware. And so for a while, you're very aware of it, and then you forget that you don't have a cold or headache or whatever. But then she says, if you understand a neutral feeling tone, it can become pleasant. If you don't understand neutral feeling tone, it can become unpleasant. And this is why kind of people say neutral doesn't exist, because it veers very quickly. But we can discuss that. And so this is interesting because, and I think that's why some people feel that this neutral feeling tone is a beginning of equanimity, because we could see it as very restful, as very peaceful. And this is interesting with meditation, because when you do meditation, especially sitting meditation, generally not much happens. So generally, it's a bit neutral. And so do we experience this neutrality as, this is restful, it's peaceful? Or do we interpret it as, this is boring, I am boring, my life is boring, and then it becomes very unpleasant. So this is interesting. When nothing is happening, what is our relationship to that? And it seemed to me that the mindfulness of the feeling tone is actually, I'll talk more about this afternoon, how can we creatively engage with feeling tone. So in terms of the meditation, so we'll do with the first sitting, we'll do with the breath. Then we'll do the walking meditation, being aware of the body and also being aware of the visual contact. And then the next meditation will be with the sounds, with listening meditation. Personally, I find it a very interesting meditation. So that, you know, you sit in meditation, you listen to the sound, you hear a sound. And generally, you know, like possibly we won't do here, but generally, you know, you sit in meditation and then you hear tweet, 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 little birdie, and it's woo. And then you might listen, you know, to cars. I mean, once I sat in a, I was in Mexico, and we're sitting in meditation, and I don't know why, there seemed to be kind of like a very steep slope. And then there was all these trucks who had to go up this very steep slope to get somewhere. So it was, you were sitting, and it's only time. It was so noisy. You could not think, actually. Because it was just pure noise. I mean, the decibels were quite amazing. It was very interesting to be in that kind of sound. And so, in a way, it's kind of like when we hear a sound, generally there is this feeling tone. And then what is interesting is the sound might go quickly. So that's another part of the granularity. The sound appear. There is a feeling tone. If the sound goes immediately, does the feeling tone associated with the sound continue a little bit? Or does it go with the sound immediately? That's one thing. Or if you have a sound which continues, does the feeling tone continues exactly the same? Or does it revert to a little bit neutral? So this is, play with. It's interesting because often recently I was reading an article about something and somebody was saying, oh, at first I could really hear the noise outside my house. And then within a few days, then I did not hear it anymore. And I had the feeling that first he had this unpleasant feeling tone, and then he kind of over time he got used to it and it kind of became neutral in a way. So just kind of in a way exploring all this. Is this relatively clear? Okay? So we're going...